Blog Talk Radio.
To home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. Now, I hear the scripture said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, let you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I know you have been blessed and going to have another wonderful, wonderful session as we gather again today in the wonderful, in the matchless name of Jesus. I want you to come right on in, grab your Bible, come on in, and make yourself right at home. Truly, we have another wonderful lesson on today, and I know without a shadow of a doubt, you are going to be tremendously blessed on today. Our lesson is going to be the teaching of Jesus about himself. And so we're looking at the doctrine of Christ. And so we're going to take a closer look at the teaching of Jesus about himself. And we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through verse number 21. We recognize Luke was a great physician. He was the beloved of God. And so we're going to look at the account that he had given on regards to Christ. Also, some other scripture settings that you can look at in your time or in think leisure is Matthew 16, verses 1 through 17, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 21, John chapter 4, verses 25 through 26. And our focus verse is going to be on 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses number 5. So let's take a look at the scripture today. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through verse 21 reads, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the seventh day and stood up for it to read. And there was delivered unto him the books of the prophet Elias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable years of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogues was fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, let's take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What we're going to be focusing on is that Jesus had much to say about God, and he had much as well to say even about himself. And he plainly taught that he was the Messiah, and that he was the man, was man, and that he was also God himself. So let's take a look at our lesson on today further. Now, when we look at a course which is sometimes seen in Sunday school, everybody ought to know who Jesus is. How true. Everyone ought to know who Jesus is. And that is our subject we're going to be talking about on today. Now, it is always a joy to examine the deity of Jesus Christ and the oneness of the Godhead. It is impossible to emphasize this truth too much, for the foundation of the church is built on biblical revelation of the deity of Jesus. Now, the knowledge of who Jesus is should be rooted deeply in the hearts and mind of every Bible student, for it is a glorious truth of the Holy Scripture. What a wonderful revelation and realization it is to know that God robed himself in human flesh in order to procure the redemption of his children. Now, once a person clearly understands the true identity of Jesus Christ and also understands that his salvation depends upon this truth, that person will surely cherish and preserve it in their hearts. Now, Jesus taught much also about his own identity. Let's take a look at that. Now, the teaching of Jesus is truth. What Jesus taught regarding himself cannot be seriously questioned or successfully refuted. First of all, it is the word of God, and God's word is infallible. The Apostle John wrote, "Thy word is true," John 17:17. Secondly, Jesus is the living word, personified truth, and he would never change or pervert the truth. John 1:17 states, "But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the light," John 14:6. Now, even when Jesus made statement regarding his own identity, we can be certain that it is exactly as he stated, because he claimed to be the Messiah. He is the Messiah, and he claimed to be the I Am. Therefore, he is the I Am. You'll see that over in John 8:58. Now, Jesus identified himself as God in the flesh through his teaching, but also his life and ministry and the miracles also declare his identity of the deity. Although John the Baptist had earlier identified Jesus as the Lamb of God and the Messiah, while he was in prison, he wanted a confirmation from Jesus himself. Therefore, he sent two disciples to inquire of Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or look we for another?" Luke 7:19. Now, in reply to the question of John's disciple, Jesus performed many miracles. After he healed many individuals from infirmities and blindness, Jesus said to John's disciple, "Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor, the gospel is preached." Luke 7:22. Now, the ministry of Jesus Christ convictively identified him as God, for only God could have known, said, and done the many things Jesus did. Now, throughout his ministry, Jesus was concerned that the people know who he really was. In Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked his disciple, "Whom do men say that the Son of Man am?" Matthew 16:13, he left the impression that it was very important to know the identity of the Savior. In fact, Jesus stated that salvation is dependent on the understanding that he is the Messiah. Let's look at John 8:24. "For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Now, to have sins remitted, one must have faith in the efficacious atonement accomplished on the cross of Calvary. If Jesus was just a martyr, then his blood would be no more effective than any other man's blood. In that Jesus was both sinless and divine, he is able to be our Savior, and his shed blood is efficacious for the atonement of our sin. Now, even after his resurrection, Jesus was concerned that his disciple understood who he really was. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus joined two of his disciples and expounded to them the scripture concerning himself. Luke 24:27. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself." Now, later, the disciple confessed that their hearts burned within them as he talked to them and opened the scriptures. Having a personal knowledge of who Jesus is brings a great blessing. Many Christians or child of God have testified of the wonderful blessing that it was when they recognized the deity of Jesus Christ. Let's look further. Jesus taught that he was the Messiah. Jesus, the hope of the Jews. The Messiah in the Hellenisticized transliteration of a Hebrew word derived from the verb miska, meaning to anoint with oil. The noun formed of the word miskia is found numerous times in the Old Testament, but it was unusual. It was usually translated anointed. Only twice in Daniel 9 and 25 to 26 was the word translated Messiah. Let's look at that scripture. That from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of wars desolation are determined. That was Daniel chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Now, the primary sense of the title is king as anointed one man of God. David was the ideal king of Israel, and the hope of the Jews was to see another king like David. Many of the prophetical scriptures of the Old Testament promise a continuation of David's lineage and look forward to his birth in Bethlehem. For the Messianic hope came with an expectation of a national Messiah who would assume the kingship over Judah and deliver the nation from its oppressor. And on the other hand, there was also hope for a Messiah from heaven, both human and divine, who would establish the kingdom of God on earth. Now, Christ, in the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew Messiah, also means anointed one. The scripture referred to Jesus as the Christ. The word was used as the identifying title of Jesus, Matthew 16:16, Jesus the Christ. The Apostle Peter is his sermon. In his sermon, priest at Pentecost declared that Jesus was both Lord and Christ. You'll see that over in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. In other words, by his resurrection, Jesus was confirmed to be the Christ, the Messiah. Let's look a little further. Jesus taught the Jews. Jesus grew up in Nazareth and regularly attended the synagogue. He was well known by all being the son of Joseph, a carpenter. In order to their worship in the synagogue, one stood to read the Old Testament scripture and then sat down to teach and expound on the scripture as he read. At the beginning of his ministry, Jesus went to the synagogue on the seventh day and was handed the prophecy of Isaiah. He stood and read the first two verses of the 61st chapter. Luke says, chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 state, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and to recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable years of the Lord." And so here we have Jesus reading and expounding of the scriptures in that passage of scripture there. Now, Jesus also then closed the prophecy and handed it back to the priest. He sat down, and everyone looked at him, waiting to hear scripture expound. Jesus' first word declared his identity. "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Luke 4 and verse number 21. Luke 4 and 21. All heard the gracious word which he had spoken and asked, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Luke 4 and 22. Now, when he had finished commending, the Jews were angry and thrust him out. But the fact remained that he was the anointed one. Let's look at further. he also taught the Samaritan. John 4 and verse 25 and 26, the woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which was called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now, if Jesus had not identified himself to be the Samaritan woman, he would have left her in confusion. She had confessed her faith in the coming of the Messiah who would tell her all things. When Jesus stated, I that speak unto thee am he, John 4 and 26, the woman was able to accept the statement, for Jesus had already told her much about her life. And she was so excited that she left her water pot and hastened back into the city. John 4 and 29 say, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Now, many of the Samaritans believed and requested that Jesus spend some time with them. Jesus remained 2 days, and the Samaritan was able to testify, we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, John 4 and 42. Now, Jesus confessed that he was the Messiah, and he convinced the Samaritan that he was indeed the Messiah by his teaching. Now, it's interesting to note that the fact of the Samaritan was gained individually, for they heard him for themselves. The revelation of the identity of Jesus Christ is always personal, and it must be so. Each person must have a personal relationship with Jesus and know for themselves who Jesus really is. Now, Jesus taught that he was man, the Son of Man. On many occasions, Jesus spoke of himself as being the Son of Man to show clearly that he was human and to show his redemptive mission. Luke 18 and 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 16, 13, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, the humanity of Jesus is taught in Acts of the Apostle and in the Epistle, but Jesus by word and deed revealed that he was God manifest in flesh. He lived in an authentic human life. Now, Jesus was both God and man, very God and perfect man. The Word, which was with God, and the Word was as God planned the salvation, was made flesh and blood. John 1, verses 1 through 14. God became a part of his own plan of redemption. Now, it was necessary that Jesus pose a fully human body, soul, and spirit, and an authentic human. For only the death of a sinless human could provide salvation for fallen, sinful mankind. Now, without a death, there could be no atoning blood efficacious to remit sin. Since God cannot die, he caused the Virgin Mary to conceive by the Holy Ghost and to give birth to his Son, Luke 1 and 35. Now, this Son in whom God dwelt in his fullness became the sacrificial atonement on Calvary's cross. Now, God had to manifest himself in flesh to redeem us by the shedding his blood on the cross for our sins. Now, the mystery of the incarnation is not comprehensible, but it is believable. And by believing that Jesus was both deity and human, we receive through his name and by the infilling of his spirit. Jesus affirmed the truth of the incarnation time and time again. He let it be known that he was man and with all human frailties and infirmities of man, yet he was without sin. In order to provide salvation, he had to die, and the sacrifice for atonement had to be sinless. Indeed, he was tempted in every way as we are, but he remained pure and without sin, Hebrews 4, 15. It should be noted that the denial of this truth, that Jesus came in flesh, is the mark of the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, let's take a look. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it shall come, and even now already is in the world. 1 John 4:2-3. Now let's look further. Jesus identified himself with us. Jesus did not withdraw himself from mankind, nor did he hide himself from in a monastery. He mixed with the people, he communed with them, and at the same time he ministered to the needy, healed the sick, and delivered those who was in bondage. On one of the greatest characteristics of our Lord during his earthly ministry was that he had compassion to redeem us. He placed himself in man's condition. He now knows the experience of temptation and weakness and other human limitations, and this understanding of man's frailties enabled him as our high priest to respond to our needs. Yet Jesus revealed this spirit of compassion throughout his ministry. Matthew 15:33 says, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and had nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Jesus is touched with the feelings of man's infirmity because he partook of them himself as well. And in his omniscience, he knows all, but through his own personal experience as man, he feels and understands the human plight. In his humanity, Christ was subject to the experience and infirmity of all men. As a youth, Jesus experienced natural growth and development. Now, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon them. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Luke 2:40-52. Now, Jesus experienced hunger as a man. And in those days he did not eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now Jesus experienced weariness as a human. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with the journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour, John 4:6. Jesus experienced poverty, and Jesus said unto him, foxes and holes have and birds of the air and have nets, but the Son of Man have not nowhere to lay his head. Luke 9:58. Now Jesus experienced sleep. As they sailed, he fell asleep. Luke 8:23. Jesus also experienced sorrow. He took with Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be wearied and very heavy. Matthew 26:37. He also experienced temptation, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but in all points tempted like as we are, and without sin. Hebrews 4:15. In all of the human emotion and experiences, Jesus identified himself with us as a man, and as a result, he was able to have compassion and minister to the needy. The humanity of Jesus is very important to affecting of our salvation. He is our Savior, the Lamb of God who died for us on Calvary. But his humanity is also important in his office as high priest. It is in his humanity that Jesus was able to be the mediator in things between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5 states, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Let's look further. Jesus taught that he was God. Jesus also taught that he was God. Now, Jesus claimed eternality. Let's look at that. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. John 8:58. Jesus claimed to be the eternal self-existent one. Abraham was born at a certain point of time, and he did not experience this prior to that. But Jesus said that he was the I Am, the eternal present one. The incarnation began at Bethlehem when the Son of Man was born of Mary. But God, who was in his Son, was not born at Bethlehem, for God is eternal. One of the greatest titles of deity is the title of I Am. And this is the title by which God identified himself to Moses when he spoke from the burning bush. I am that I am, Exodus 3:14. Now, when Jesus used this title of himself, he claimed to be the one who had spoken to Moses. This title, I am, means that Jesus still dwells in eternal presence. Although Jesus is not on the earth, his bodily form as a man, as a God, is present as the omnipresent spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Jesus Christ in us. And you'll see the scripture reference at Acts 3:19 to 20, Colossians 1 and 27, Romans 8, 9 through 11. He was both in deity and humanity while he was on the earth as the Son of God. He continues to be to us through the Holy Spirit. When Jesus claimed to be the I Am, he was clearly stating that he was God. The Jews well understood his claim and took up stones to throw at him, John 8 and 59. Because he claimed to be God, they were ready to kill him. The scripture John 10 and 33 reads, "The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we were stoned, we stoned thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Now let's look further. Jesus claimed omniscience. Jesus claimed the attribute of deity, those of eternality, omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence, omniscience. These attributes belong to God alone. No human could possibly possess them, but Jesus was more than a man. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to his disciple, he told them that all power in heaven and earth was given to him. And you'll see that over in Matthew 28 and 18. And his claim to possess all power, Jesus claimed the omnipotence. He declared himself to be the same God and therefore God. Since he had all power, he had no equal. And as the Son of God, he humbled himself as a man so that he could die for our sins, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. In his resurrection, God made the Son of the to be Lord, giving him a name that is above every name. And it's not a part of God or a second part in the Trinity who comes to us in the Son of God, but is God himself in his fullness dwell in him, his Son. And you'll see that over in Colossians 2 and 9. Thus, God did not relinquish his being or power or position in proclaiming that the man, the Son of God, be made Lord with all power. In the incarnation, God revealed himself to us through an authentic human life. And in his resurrection of the Son of God, he revealed his inseparable absorption of himself with the glorified body of Jesus Christ. Now, the truth of Jesus' possession of all power is clearly stated in the book of Revelation. Jesus spoke to John while he was on the Isle of Patmos, and he plainly stated that he was the Almighty. See Revelation 1 and 8. There can only be one Almighty, and since Jesus possessed all power in heaven and in earth, he can correctly be proclaimed the Almighty. Now, let's look at his omniscience. Now, near the close of Christ's farewell discourse with the disciple, explained, "Now are we sure that thou knowest all things?" John 16 and 30. Since Jesus did not deny that this to be true, he allowed them to believe that he possessed the attributes of omniscience. Now, the word omniscience is derived from two Latin words, omni, which means all, and the other one, omnis, which means to know. Therefore, the word omniscience simply means all knowledge. Throughout his ministry, Jesus revealed that he possessed these attributes. And upon many occasions, he showed that he knew what man was thinking. Now, let's look at omnipresent. You'll find Matthew 18 and 20, it said, For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, Jesus Christ is present in every place where Christians are gathered in his name. Not only is he present with them, but at the same time, he is present with countless numbers of others scattered throughout the entire world. This power of being present everywhere at the same time proved conclusively that Jesus is God. Accompanying this truth is his promise to be with every believer at all times. Now, Jesus accepted worship. Thomas refused to believe that Jesus was risen from the grave. He declared, "Except I see in his hand the prints of the nails and put my finger into the prints of the nail and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe," John 20 and 25. When Jesus appeared to Thomas, he invited him to put forth his hand and touch his side to examine the real scar left by a horrible event of the crucifixion. Now, the explanation of John was one of worshipful devotion. My Lord and my God. Now, Jesus not only accepted this expression of worship from Thomas, but he also commended him for his correct belief in his being God. On many other occasions, he accepted worship from other people. Worship belonged to God only. Yet Jesus never refused worship, showing him to claim his deity. Moreover, Jesus, in his entrance to Jerusalem, stated that if the people would withhold their praise and worship, that the rocks will cry out to worship him. And you'll see that over in Luke 19 and 40. Praise be unto the Lord Jesus. Now, in our conclusion, Jesus was really who he claimed to be, or he was an imposter, a cheat, or a fake. There was no middle ground, no compromise on his identity as fully man and fully God. Jesus claimed to be the Messiah, an anointed man, and also the Almighty God. He had to be both God and man. Now, thank God that Jesus was all that he claimed to be. Everyone should know who Jesus is and know he is real, and also to know him in a personal way. It should not be merely learning about him from others, but an intimate and personal relationship of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He needs to encounter God in a personal experience of salvation. A person needs to not have any doubts about the identity of Jesus. First of all, Jesus made his identity clearly known during his earthly ministry. Second, the word of God leaves no doubt about his deity. Finally, he sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts to lead and guide us into all truth. The Lord of eternity dwells in our heart by his Spirit. And when we open our hearts and open our minds to him, Jesus revealed himself as the Almighty God. And I come to tell you on conclusion on this wonderful and glorious lesson on today, as you open your heart and your mind to receive all of Jesus Christ and all the revelation of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, he's going to reveal himself even to you in a more deeper way of his omniscience and omnipresent and his all-power ability. He's going to show you fashions of himself that you have not even known. Truly, he is God, robed in the flesh, fully man and yet fully God, redeeming man back unto himself. For in my conclusion, First Timothy said, chapter 2 and 5 said, but there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so as we close out on today, I pray that you have been blessed. I pray that this word will go deeply down in your spirit and your heart, that you will go back and talk to him and begin to pray unto our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say, give me more and greater and deeper revelation of who you are, and watch Jesus reveal and peel back the walls and the scales and let you see who he really is, like he did even for Thomas and things, and gave him true revelation of who he was, because he loves you. He loves you dearly, and he's doing some great and mighty things in and through your life as you continue just to open your heart to all of who Jesus is and all of what God has for you, even through his son, who is God manifested in the flesh, who is the express image of the invisible God. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this wonderful lesson on today. We thank you for blessing us in a mighty and a special way. God, we bless all of our hearers and listeners on this glorious day, that you will strengthen them, that you will fortify them, and that you will undergird them as they reach out and seek you for a greater and deeper revelation of you and in all of your glory, in all of your majesty. And Father, we praise your blessed and your wonderful and glorious name. Father, this is our prayer in Jesus' wonderful name. Seal the word, that it be coupled down in their heart, Father, with faith, that it may profit them as they meditate and moose upon the word of the Lord our God. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. And so again, we thank you for joining us on today, and we thank you for allowing us to be in your places of abode on today. And I pray that you are blessed. Share it with someone else. Tell someone to call up in. Be with us on every Thursday or Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock Pacific time, that they may join us on today for just a little soul food throughout the day for their soul, and that they can receive teaching from the biblical, the Bible, biblical lessons and teaching, and that they will be tremendously blessed in and through and by the word of the Lord. I tell you, child of God, I am excited about what God is doing in and through the life of his wonderful people, and I come to encourage you to continue on in the work and the plan of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for your life. I tell you, I pray that there will be a no-sorrow blessing that will come to your house. Yes, to your house, that you will be blessed beyond measure, not only you, but your children and your children's children. And so until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord continue to abide with you. God bless you. Bye-bye.